How many know that God loves you? He believes in you. He's got a purpose for you. He hasn't forgotten about you. That means you too, Tony. You're not too old. It's not too late. You're not too old. It's not too late. I remember the lady that came, hallelujah, to the conference in Tulsa. She was in her 90s. She was 90, at least 90, I think 90 or 91. And she had just gotten filled with the Holy Ghost. And she was seeking God for God's perfect will for her life. She even sent in the prayer request one time. She said, well, I'm believing God for wisdom because I know I'm supposed to fast. You know, and yet she's 90. She said, I'm 91, you know, so I need the wisdom of God, how he wants me to do it. And he showed her. And she began fasting and praying and seeking God's face. You're not too old. Not only that, the Bible says you're not too young. Timothy, Paul told Timothy, do not despise your youth. Amen. Hallelujah. But what? Be an example. Hallelujah. Be that example. Glory to God. How many know, even the young people, they can be an example in faith, in purity, in holiness. Especially today, we need lots of people that are in purity and holiness and love God. They're not lost in the world. Because how many know in the world that means not all the young people are going to hell? Praise God. We've got some good young people here. Young adults that are serving God. That are seeking after the face of heaven. That are crying out to God to know Him. They want to walk with God. You know, when you really look at the world and you see how they live, who in the world wants that mess? You know, dear Jesus. Well, what'd you do last night? Well, I got drunk and I was with so-and-so and then I got with so-and-so and next week I'll be with so-and-so. Hallelujah. That's the world's way, right? But God's way is to seek after Him. You know, one of the greatest educations you're ever going to get is to learn how to pray. It's more important than anything else. Learn how to get a hold of God. When you learn to pray and seek Him, how many know He can bring the direction you need? Hallelujah. Amen. I know a lot of you got His direction. It's good. We talked about that last Sunday morning. Morning. Not morning. But morning. Hallelujah. You know, it's good to get some education, you know, and to follow God. He's going to lead us. He is more than just a feel-good God. He's a practical Father. He will bring us the wisdom that we need to walk in this life. Amen. Sometimes that wisdom is, don't worry about that friend. They weren't really a friend after all. Let them go. Amen. How many know sometimes you got to let people go because you're pursuing God. You're going after Him. It's okay. You know, God loves them where they are, and sometimes people don't want Him. And that's all right. They have that right. They have that choice to make. It doesn't mean they're not going to make heaven, but they may not have heaven to go to heaven in. But how many know we can have a bit of heaven here on earth? We can walk in the glory of God. We can walk in the wisdom of heaven. We can walk with our Father in His precious love. And that is His desire. It's His desire. He wants us to operate, what? In His authority and dominion, just like it was. He wants to restore everything to us that was just like it was in the Garden of Eden. He wants it in our day right now. Now, we're not going to have the glorified body yet that they walked in. That is going to be restored. But we can have everything else. We can have that fellowship with our Father where He comes and He talks with us in the cool of the day. You know, when He just comes and He just loves on you. Hey, how's it going? You know, he misses us. You know, if you haven't been with him, he'll come get you, tap you on the shoulder. Woo-hoo! Are you there? I've had that happen before. I don't know about you, but you wake up out of a sound sleep. Somebody's at the door. Go to the door. You know, nobody's there. Go back. Maybe you lay down. Oh, yes, Lord, that is you. Oh, I just want to let you know I love you, son. Daughter, love you. He'll come talk with you. Maybe he's got something for you. Hey, would you pray for so-and-so? Oh, sure. Of course I will, Father. Why? Because you love him. Your life belongs to him. Amen. Hallelujah. And out of the overflow of that relationship is where his love comes from. Amen. And how it flows through you and I to one another. Our first love is to be what? To the Father. Let's go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Well, Matthew 22, and verse 37. Hallelujah. Well, let's back up a little bit. 34. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. All of a sudden, they said, hey, he put them to silence. We're going to give it a shot. We'll take care of this. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? So they're trying to trick him again. He already silenced the Sadducees, and now he's getting ready to silence the Pharisees. How many know when somebody comes against you, he can silence those that come against you faster than you can? Amen. Many times it's up to us that we're going to have to decide we're going to let love go to work for us. Because God is love, see? And Jesus said to them, here's the great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Hallelujah. To love God. To love him. See, love. When we really love somebody, it's not hard to spend some time with them, is it? You know, you get on the phone to your friend, and next thing you know, oh my, it's been an hour. I've got to run. Why? Because you enjoyed their fellowship. Were you weren't even keeping track of the time, were you? Oh, no, we didn't. I don't know. I mean, how long did you talk? Maybe you got off the phone. I'm not sure. It was a while. You know, everybody's got that friend that you just pick up wherever you left off, no matter when you talked to him last, you know. Amen. Maybe it was 2 years ago, but they called you and somehow you just click. Got that one friend, right? It didn't matter. I talked to him 2 years ago and yet they called you and it seemed like it was yesterday. And we just pick up. But that's how it can be with our Father. Not that we ever leave him for 2 years, because he'll come find you. Because he loves you. Amen. He'll start drawing you. Anybody ever have God draw you? You know, he just draws you. You're thinking, oh yeah. You know, there's times I remember even when I was a young person, I thought I'd go to the movies, but God began to draw my heart. I said, I don't think I'll go tonight. I'm just going to go be with Jesus for a little while. Why? Because we love him. What was one of the first things Jesus said in Revelation? What? Yeah, I've got one thing against you. You're doing great. You're doing wonderful, but I got that one thing against you. You have left your first love. And what is our first love to be? He said, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all thy heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. And then he asked them a question. What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he? And they didn't know what to say. They said, well, if we say that he's of God, we're in trouble. If they say he's of somebody else, we're in trouble. We don't know. He stumped them again, didn't he? Because they thought they were smarter than Jesus himself. But how many know God's smarter than the ways of religion and the ways of man? He said, I've got a plan, and right here, it starts with loving God with all of our heart. How many love God tonight? Many people do. There's a lot of people that love God, and it's good to love him. But how many love him with all their heart? See, sometimes we get half our heart over there, or we sing, Lord, I surrender all, and really we mean I surrender some. I'm trying to surrender all, but sometimes our heart is only halfway there, isn't it? Lord, I want to surrender all. Lord, I want to love you with all my heart, with all of my soul, all my mind, my will, my intellect, with every part of me. With all my mind, Lord, with everything I think, I want to love you. And sometimes we want it to be something that's just easy. The only reason it's not always easy is because we live in a fallen world. And we are under war whether we like it or not. There is an enemy that fights you. The Bible says that he wars, that our flesh wars against our soul. It wars against our emotions. It wars against the very innermost being of us. And sometimes there's different understandings, because how many know the soul can be our mind, will, and emotion? Sometimes the soul does refer to our spiritual man or our inward man. You know, and other times, how many know, you know, how many, you know, they'll have something happen, you know, or maybe there's a catastrophe. How many, what do they say, souls were saved? In other words, lives. It means your whole life, your whole being. And here he says, love me with all your soul, or all of your being, all of your emotion, all of your heart, and with all of your mind. Hallelujah. How many know you can love God in your mind? He said, perfect peace have they whose mind is stayed on him. He said, this is the first and great commandment. Isn't that a great commandment? Love God. God said you're to love the Lord your God. Now, God's easy to love, isn't he? You know why he's easy to love? Because he is love. The Bible says what? God is love. It's not something that he has. It's not something he does. It's who he is. He can't be anything else but love. Impossible. Yet love has standards, doesn't it? Amen. You know, if your mother doesn't love you, she just lets you do whatever you want. We all know that, right? We've seen all kinds of people like that. My mom just lets me do whatever I want. You ever seen the teenager like that? You know, or they were a child like that, and then they became a teenager. Never a boundary. And it's not really the love of God. God sets us under boundaries because boundaries cause children when we're young and when we don't know that much. God keeps the boundaries for us. That's why when we're born again, he puts what? The law of God in our heart. We know right from wrong. Down in here, down in our heart, he begins to speak to us. Oh, no, don't do that. Okay. And then sometimes we find out that was in the Bible, not to do that. Yet we already knew in our heart, don't do that. Or that's not right. I know that's, I don't understand how I know, but I know that's not right. I'm not going to do that. Because your spirit became alive to God, and he's going to set those boundaries. He already put them in your heart. So it took your mother a little while to get them in you, didn't it? You know, she had to spank you or slap your hand or wash your mouth out with soap, whatever it took. She says, we're going to have some boundaries in this house, hopefully. Because they loved you. You know, if you don't love the child, won't you just let them run out in the street, right? Well, you know, they go running out. Don't run out in the street. Where they go, what do? You run after them. Because you love the child, and then you discipline the child. You let them know, don't do that. Because that will cause harm. And sometimes God has to, he'll take us. And he said, no, don't do that. In our heart, don't do that, son. No. You love, you know, because he knows what's right and wrong. He doesn't want you to be injured and destroyed. Some people say, well, you know, it's just a little alcohol, or it's just a little drugs, or it's just a little sex. But God set boundaries in the earth because he loves us. And he wants us to walk in holiness and in righteousness and in truth. And he didn't set the boundaries up so that you're sad, but because they will make you glad. Amen. I'm so glad my mama gave me some boundaries. I'm so glad my mama loved me and didn't just let me do what I wanted to do. Because how many know the flesh can be foolish? The flesh cannot be trusted. And then there comes a day when you're on your own and you've got to, what? Set your own boundaries or keep the boundaries yourself, because mama's not the boss anymore. You turned 18. You can do what you want. And then sometimes how many people didn't always live, you know, you didn't listen to all that, all those boundaries or those terrible rules that were at home. You got your own house now. You got your own room. You got your own life. I can do what I want. And sometimes we regret some of the decisions we make. You know, we see that shiny car, don't we? I can buy it myself. I'll do it myself. Maybe even mom said, hey, why don't we'll help you. We'll help you find something good. No. I want to do it myself. I'm 18 now. I'm grown. And sometimes we make our own mess, don't we? Because of the flesh, see. But we're to love God. When we love God, then we're going to respect him. And we're going to honor what he has said. And see, when we really love our mother and dad even, we love our parents, we listen to what they said. Amen. Even when we leave home, those things stay with us, don't we? Don't they? Because they loved us, and in return, we realized, oh, I mean, eventually we realized sometimes we're slow about it. Not always. I mean, I did pretty good. I mean, I wasn't perfect, but I made it, praise the Lord. Without too many terrible ideas. You know, and we gain some wisdom when we love God. Because he's the God of all wisdom, the God of all grace. And he has a lot of grace for us. You know, he knows we're going to make some mistakes. He gave us 1 John 1:9. But see, some of the biggest mistakes we make are not the ones on the outside. They're not the ones where we blundered something outwardly, but it was what was in the heart. Amen? Come on now, that's good preaching, Pastor Doug. Where we have, maybe it was, you know, we're tempted to have unforgiveness. See, the big sins aren't the ones outward. They're the ones we harbor in our heart. You know, it's not the smoking and drinking. All those things are just, they're usually just symptoms of something greater. That's right here. And the Bible says we can love God. Hallelujah. Woo! The first and great commandment, to love him with all the heart, our innermost being, you know, the heart of us, the very deepest part of us. The psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and what all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Amen. Who's forgiven all my iniquity, heals all my diseases. It makes it easy to love our God, to love our Father, because he loves us so much. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us, didn't he? And gave himself for us. Gave himself for us. And he showed what love was, that we would give ourselves toward him and toward mankind. Amen. Because he said, this is the first, to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, our emotion, everything in us, and with all of thy mind. That's a good one, isn't it? Sometimes I think we don't really think about what we're doing sometimes. The mind's a tricky thing. The fleshly mind can be kind of tricky, can't it, sometimes? You know, is our mind really thinking on him? What's it doing? The mind. The mind is powerful. It really is. Matter of fact, I just started reading it, but I was reading there in the... What's the lady's name again? Yeah, Caroline Leaf, I don't know, you probably heard of her, but she talks about the mind and the power of the mind. Amazing how the mind can learn new ways of thinking. It can actually grow new paths of freedom. It doesn't matter. I mean, some people that have been through terrible, terrible things, if they can get their mind changed, they can still change their mind and come out all right. And it really proves, and she proves, how the renewing of the mind, hallelujah, can change a person's life, transform them. Amen. Because sometimes we get programmed by the enemy through someone, or the enemy himself lying to us, and we believe those lies, and we can get programs in our mind, can't we, that are contrary to what God wants. But praise God, they can be changed with God's love. I know no more powerful thing in the world, in the universe, in the world that I know of, than God's love. His love has transformed more people. You know, most of the time I hardly hear what people say, well, how'd you get born again? Well, I heard such and such message, and he said this, and he said that. Usually it's, I don't know, I can't really remember what was said, but I do remember I felt love. I knew love for the first time. Or I knew love in a great way, that God loved me. They didn't necessarily remember what was preached. They didn't remember the words that were said, though they may have been filled with power, but they were filled with love. And it penetrated my heart, and I knew I needed a Savior. I knew I needed God. And I know many of you have sensed the love of God, and you have experienced His love. Amen. How many have experienced a touch of His love? At least a touch. Amen. You know, we've had Him come in here a few times, haven't we? And He'll just come and sit on us. You know, the Bible says in the Psalms that God is weighty. He's got some weight to Him. Sometimes He just likes to sit on us. And you feel the weightiness of how good He is, how wonderful He is, how much He really loves us. His peace, His patience, His kindness, His goodness, His faithfulness, His joy, His gentleness. He's awesome. I think of how much we should, you know, and sometimes when different times in our life, we know that He loves us, and sometimes we don't always sense it in our heart, do we? Because you know why? I believe there are times when God wants us to pursue Him too. It's not that He's gone. He didn't go anywhere. But He just kind of, you know, just takes a step, not back, but just, you know, maybe just a little ways away. He's still there, but He wants you to come pursue Him. How many know He said He will inhabit what? The praises of His people. And we just begin, you know, sometimes we don't feel it, or we're in a situation, or maybe we've taken a step back from Him in some way. And we said, oh man, where'd you go, God? Where are you? Anybody ever had that experience? Lord, where are you? I'm right here. Yet we know He's with us. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You have to be here. But where are you? I'm not sensing you, Lord. Maybe we got our mind on something else, or we got our heart on something else. We got our emotions all wrapped up in something else. Amen. Our will. Well, I really wanted to do that, Lord. Yeah, I know, it kind of drew me away, didn't it, Lord? I've got to renew my love for you, Father. I do love you, and in our heart we do love him. But I know I haven't been acting like it, Lord. I've drawn away from you. So I'm coming back in. Here I am, Lord. I worship you, magnify you. Where is he? He's right there to receive you. He said, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. We begin again. Lord, I love you. Worship you, magnify you. Thanks for loving me first. Thanks for not giving up on me, Lord. I let my fleshly emotions and my own fleshly will draw me away. I didn't mean to, Father, but here I am. Forgive me. I want that love for you, Lord. And when his love begins to flow, how many knows it becomes a whole lot easier to love our neighbor, amen? Because he said it's kind of like the first one. Love the Lord. Love your neighbor, what? As thyself. And when we have his love flowing, and our love for him and his love for us, it becomes a lot easier to love our neighbor, doesn't it? See, it's not the good neighbor he's worried about us loving. It's that naughty neighbor, that raunchy neighbor. That mean neighbor. See, it's all good, you know. It's, you know, the real test isn't loving God. He's easy to love, isn't he? It's loving that neighbor. Sometimes it's the neighbor of our household or in our family. We've all got somebody in our family that we need to keep loving, amen. We love them, we pray for them. You know, may not seem like they want anything to do with you. They might have all the wrong things to say about you. They may even hate you. But how many know there's more love in you than there is hate in them? Because God lives in you. Amen. And you can love them. Say, Lord, I'll lay my life down for them. Here I am, Father. How would you have me pray for them, Lord? That's the love of God. How would you have me pray for them, Lord? What do they really need, Father? How can we change this, Father? I know you love them. There's really not any difference between us and a sinner except we got Jesus. Amen. They just need Jesus. The price was paid for them. They just haven't yet turned to believe and receive, confess their eyes are just darkened and they don't know they're of their father, the devil. See, sometimes our mind isn't thinking that way. We're thinking they're trying to hurt us and trying to destroy us, but they know no better. The Bible says they don't know. The reason they persecute you, they do not know the Father, the love of the Father. Even if they're a religious person, they can be lost, lost in religion, or lost, you know, even if they've confessed the Lord, if they allow their flesh to rule them, sometimes people can be mean and ugly. But if we'll allow love to go forward before us and let love go to work for us, see, we can start letting love work for us. Did you understand that? It should have broadened our heart. Sometimes it's the way we're thinking. Oh, they don't mean all that. They've got all their ways, and sometimes we'll just stand there. And they know you love God. they get all upset with you about this or that or the other, but say, I'm going to let love work for me, Father. Oh, I'm going to let compassion flow toward that person. Before you know it, they say, oh, pray for me. I don't know what's the matter with me. Pray for me. How many know when people really get in trouble? And you walk before God, before them, they know who to call, don't they? When they're really in trouble, they know who to call. They're going to call you. Hopefully they're going to call on God ultimately. But many times, all they know, hey, I know they know God. See, love will go to work for us. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. That means love the Lord your God. God said, you have no other gods before me, didn't he? Don't have any other gods before me. First four commandments of the Ten Commandments is about loving God, knowing God. Don't take the Lord your God's name, what, in vain. Not just don't say damn, but don't say, you know, but don't say bad things about God. He didn't cause that sickness and disease. Children of Israel, it said they had a, what? An evil report. Why? They would not believe him. They didn't take God for what he said. He said, I've given you the land. They said, oh, there's giants over there and there's trouble. Yes, it's a great land. It's a wonderful land. I know God wants us to have it, but I don't think we could do it because of whatever reason. See, sometimes we get into the place, well, can we do it? Can we have revival in St. Thomas? Yes, we can. See, the devil's going to try your ground. He's trying our ground right now. Well, it doesn't look like your church is very full. It doesn't look like things are changing. It doesn't look like anything is happening. But what has God said? He said, if you'll ask of me, I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. What did he promise us? I'll give you St. Thomas. I'll give you Elgin County if you'll ask of me. How many have asked of God? I know many of you have. All of us have, haven't we? We're talking to him about it. You know, that's what happens sometimes with us people. Us humans. Dang, I wish I could get over that humanness of me. And I can, praise God, we can. We can. Because I'm not really human anymore, am I? Neither are you. We're divine. We're part of what God created. He moved in and made his home in us. The Bible says we are what? A new creation. That means a species of being that did not exist before. Full of the love of God. That's you. And that's me. If you confess Jesus as Lord. Now, if you didn't, we can fix that tonight. And you can be full of love too. Amen. Because that's the first thing that God said. The Bible says, when we get born again, it's one of the first things we'll see. It says what? They have love for the brethren. Really? Yes, truly. You ever read 1 John? Hallelujah. Which one is that, Lord? Oh, yeah. 1 John 3:14. Let's read that one. You know, you want to find out if somebody really is born again. It said, and we, let's see, 3:14, 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abides in death. Now, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So here we see, we know, how do we know we went from death to life? Because we love the brethren. You know, when somebody gets born again, they start loving people, don't they? They start having a love for the brethren. Maybe they didn't love the church before. Maybe they were like some of our friends, you know, our neighbors around here. They don't love the church because they're not of God. They don't know him yet. That's the only reason. And we can each reach somebody, can't we? We're each going to reach one. You know, I did talk to Malcolm the other day, and he did say, well, I do believe there's a higher power. That's an improvement, you know. He's making progress, slow progress, but praise the Lord, he's coming along, he's coming in. Sometimes the harder they fight, the faster they fall. Praise the Lord. God knows how to get them, doesn't he? It's not up to us really to get them, it's up to him. Our job is just simply, he said, what, through the foolishness of preaching. It seems so foolish, doesn't it? Just proclaim the good news. Speak the good news to people. They will be convicted. God, it opens their heart. Isn't that amazing? Isn't God something? You know, we think we could figure out, you know, well, maybe we should do this and do that. We try all kinds of things. And he said, preach the good news. All is forgiven, Malcolm. Come to God. Jesus paid the price for you. You know, we've all sinned and fallen, come short of the glory of God. But there's hope for you. He said, whoever will call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. You know you need to be saved. Deep down in your heart, you know it, Malcolm, don't you? Come to Jesus. You know, and keep loving them. Just keep loving them where they are. How many know? Sometimes we got to love people to the next place. No matter how bad they are. Or they seem to be. Anyway, I'm not making fun of Malcolm in any way. He just needs to know Jesus. You know, he's just lost. And sometimes people have had, you know, they haven't had much exposure to the gospel. They think it's just because you've been there, you've been doing that all your life, you know, since they were, you know, not everybody. Amen. Some of us have, but not everybody. How many know? There's lots of people that didn't know God till later in life, you know. Now, most people had some kind of experience with God before the age of 18 or 19. Many people do. That's why it's important, I think, to really minister to our young people. If you had some kind of an experience, even if it wasn't, you know, they didn't fully take, but there was seed in there, and they had some kind of experience, and maybe a little later on they will come in. But how many know, it doesn't matter if you're 102, Jesus is still waiting for you. If you're not yet confessed him, we know, hallelujah, Grandpa Gary's coming in, isn't he, man? Praise the Lord. That's Brother Shane's grandfather. He had asked us to pray for him. We're still praying for him. He had cancer. He's not dead yet. And he's starting to listen to a few programs with his wife on TV, getting that seed put in him. He can't die till he gives his heart to Jesus. Amen. He will be there with us in heaven for all eternity. And we'll be shouting the glory for maybe 1,000 or maybe 10,000 years. Hallelujah. It won't make any difference because time will be no more. We'll be rejoicing together. Hallelujah. Won't that be fun? We'll introduce him to all of you. Hallelujah. We'll get to meet him. We'll get to spend time together. Amen. Glory. Isn't that going to be wonderful? Let's decide we're going to love God. We're going to love our neighbor as ourselves. Hallelujah. But he says, here we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. He doesn't know God. Either he's not born again or he really doesn't know God. And if you are born again, deep down, say, well, I think I hate that, my brother. But if you'll listen to your spirit deep down, something down there scratching you. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Man, you know, deep down, you do love them. You do love your brother. You just got to let that love, learn how to let that love go to work for you. Let it work in you. Amen. Love is awesome. The love of the Father, the love of God. And we pass from spiritual death to spiritual life, haven't we? Because spiritual death, that was the state we're in before we're born again. When Satan was our spiritual father. And I've mentioned that here before. You know, I remember when I was 9 years old, I learned in Sunday school, God knows everything. Even what I'm going to say before I say it. What I'm going to do before I do it. He already knows. Because he's all-knowing. Well, then how come he doesn't stop me from being naughty? He doesn't stop me from saying that dirty word. Because my spirit was not yet born again. It was not yet changed. I was still in a deaf nature. And Satan was my father. Like it or not, at one time, Pastor Doug's father was Satan. Sorry to say, guys, but that's the way it was because I was born into a fallen race in a fallen world. Fortunately for me, hallelujah, I was born in North America where Jesus is preached. And I heard him at a young age. Thank you, Jesus. And I realized I needed a Savior. Amen. So, well, what great sins were you committing? Not too many, but I wanted to love God, but I hadn't yet been born again. But when I did, I sure do love him. And I plan on keep loving him. I want to walk with him. I don't know about you. How many want to please our Father? But that's what happens. Amen. Let's go to Romans 5 for a minute. I think we'll go there. Romans 5:17. Romans 17:21 says this, for if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Whoo-wee. How many want to reign? You want to rule and reign. Amen. You can. Through that righteous life that he gave you. That gift. Glory to God. I'm sure glad it was a gift. Because I know I couldn't have been good enough. You and I weren't good enough. We never would have been good enough. But Jesus gave it to us anyway. He did it for us, didn't he? And gave the gift of righteousness to you. His righteousness. Oh, man, that's good news, isn't it? We pass from death to life. So then we know that we pass from death to life. We love the brethren. Hallelujah. Verse 17, we shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. How many are glad, hallelujah, that you were justified? What do you mean justified? That means made right with God. just as if you've never sinned. You were made righteous before Him. Hallelujah. Through the free gift came upon what? All men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Glory to God. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory to God. Hoo-wee. Spiritual death was the state that we were in before we were born again. But now we have spiritual life. Amen. Glory to God. We were changed. We became right with God. And we can what reign in this life. I think the Amplified says, reign as kings in life through Christ Jesus. How many want to reign as a king? You know, a lot of times we want to be king of the castle. Well, you're the king. Hallelujah. You're the king of your life. And you get to reign with the king. Amen. We're king juniors, you know. We're not the king of kings. He's the king of what? Kings. Amen. We're his sons, his daughters, and we get to say what goes. Before we were born again, we were bound to sin, and now we're set free. And now we get to choose to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, all of our strength. And we can love our neighbor as ourself because he lives within. The love of God in our hearts is evidence that we've been translated out of Satan's kingdom of darkness into God's kingdom of light. Colossians 1:13. Let's read that verse. Colossians 1:13. How do we know somebody's born again? How do we know we pass from death to life? Because we love the brethren. Amen. We do. And we've been translated. We've been changed. We left darkness and came into the light. Says verse 13 says, who hath delivered us? Glory to God. Well, let's look up a little bit. Let's read 12 too. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Glory to God. Woo! From the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Praise the Lord. And if you don't have the love of God abiding in your heart, no, you're not saved. It says, he that loveth not his brother abides in death. It says in 1 John that we read, 3:14, right? You're still abiding in death. If you really don't love your brother, now you got to look down on the inside. You got to look down to your spirit, man, because the love of God's in there. If you've been born again, deep down, you really do love your brother. Amen. And your mother. And your neighbor. Amen. The love of God, the Bible said, is what? Shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Ooh, good news in the house tonight. We get to love. We get to love God. We get to love our neighbor. We get to let love work for us and work through us when we, what, exercise that love. We have to make a decision. He said, love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our, what, mind. Where do you make decisions? In our mind, don't we? We decide. And with our will. He said, the second commandment's kind of like the first one. Love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, decide. I'm going to love my neighbor. Before they love you, before there's evil against you, you just make the decision, I'm going to love them. I'm going to walk in love. Anybody ever made that decision? And then maybe you didn't walk in love. But you began to walk in love, didn't you? And other times you did walk in love. And we can choose to walk in love. And we can continue to practice walking in love. We talked about that last time. Love endures long, doesn't it? It's patient and kind. It's not envious. It doesn't boil over with jealousy. It's not boastful. It's not vainglorious. It doesn't display itself haughtily. You know? Bless God, look at me. Whew. You know, that's not the love of God, is it? Love is says love is a servant. Love is not filled with the pride of life. Or look at me. But love is let's look at God, let's look at who he is, and let him flow through us. All right. Of course, that's what happens when believers say, that they don't love their brethren because they're not looking at their spiritual man. Sometimes we're looking at our flesh, don't we? But the love of God doesn't dwell in our flesh. It doesn't dwell in the outward man. It dwells in the inward man, doesn't it? And real love comes from the inside, doesn't it? Amen. To the outside. It can affect our flesh. Our flesh just goes around. Our body really doesn't care too much. But it does have a voice, and it tries to tell us what we're going to do. But how many know we don't have to listen to our flesh? We can put our flesh under with what? The love of God, which is abounding in our heart through the Holy Spirit. It lives in there, and we can allow it to flow, not just to God, but also to our fellow man, to our brothers and sisters, to whomever we come in contact with. We can let love flow and dominate, and we're going to have what? Victory in our life. Amen. You can walk in love to the meanest person. It's very possible. Now, it doesn't mean you have to stand there and let them treat you certain ways, because guess what? God has boundaries. Love sets boundaries. You know, I don't let people come in my office here and just start screaming and yelling at me. I'd be glad to talk with you, sir, as soon as you calm down. We're going to have a conversation here, but I'm going to set the rules. We're not going to yell and scream at each other. Amen. Because I'm not going to have strife in the house. We're not going to allow it. Well, I'm really angry. I said, that's fine. You have the right to be angry. But we're not going to express ourselves in those tones and in that way. And guess what? Because I'm king of my life, I can set that boundary. And you can too. Hallelujah. Come on. See, that's love too. Love is not just a doormat that lays down. Because if somebody wants to come in here and try to destroy you, I have a responsibility before the King of Glory to protect you. And sometimes it's taken the the rod that God has given me of the shepherd and knock him in the head. Get him off of you. Because they were a wolf, and that's not right. We're not going to allow it. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor Doug. Maybe we'll get into that part later. I'm just letting everybody know because there's a time that, yes, we are to walk in love. We are to forgive. We hold them blameless. We're not mad at them. But that doesn't mean they get to walk all over us. Nobody. Because the devil's a liar. And if he's going to use somebody, we're not going to allow it. We're not going to allow that. That doesn't mean that you have to be a doormat. If somebody is walking all over you and trying to destroy you, then we need to get you strong enough to stand up so that you can set your boundary. Say no. See, God set boundaries over you, didn't he? Did he set boundaries for you or not? See, love also does no ill to its neighbor. That means that person doesn't have to, you know, you don't have to accept ill towards you in every situation. I mean, if you're being beat up in a marriage, you need to get out. You need to find a safe place. Somebody may be hearing this somewhere. You need to get some help. You need to get strong. You need to get yourself to a safe place. Because God wants you to have strength in this life. And what's destroyed revivals of the past is weak leaders. And it's the truth. And so we've got to stay in prayer. We've got to stay strong with the Lord. Doesn't mean we're mean. It doesn't mean we have to use any kind of violence, but we are not going to allow the enemy to win. Yes, we fight in the spiritual realm, but there are times when we have to allow, you know, stop him. No. You can't stand up here and start prophesying lies to people in our church. It's not going to happen. We appreciate you, sir. I mean, perhaps your heart is pure, but we don't agree with that prophecy. Please sit down. And if they have to persist and insist, then I'll just have to say, well, I'm sorry, but we'll just have to ask you to leave our presence because we're going to continue on with what the Holy Ghost wants to do because people's lives are going to be set free. Now, they can be set free. But how many know if somebody's yielding over to the enemy, even God himself can't help them, right? Tell they what? Submit to him. Surrender. That's where we started tonight. Love the Lord your God. You. In other words, who's the understood subject? Everybody say me. Yeah, me. I'm the understood subject. You. Love the Lord. In other words, I got to make that decision, and that's with everybody. They got to decide. Hallelujah. Anyway, there's maybe some things to come. We'll see. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We can love our neighbor as ourself, Father. We thank you that you have translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, Father, and that we have love for the brethren, Lord. And we have love for you, and that we can reign in life through that love that we have in Jesus Christ. What a powerful love you are. What a powerful God you are. Oh, Father, you are so full of love. You are so full of compassion. You are so full of mercy. You are so full of grace. We love you, and we thank you for saving us, and we ask you to grace us as we go today, Lord, to love you more, to love others in a greater light, to allow the love of God to overtake us and to dominate us, Lord. We yield to love tonight. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father.